Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Commitment to Courage, the show that inspires you to choose a life of victory. Call in at 347-637-2274. Now here is your host, the woman you've been hearing about, Pauline Victoria.
Welcome to Commitment to Courage. I want to thank you for listening in either live or as a podcast. Of course, as my title says, Commitment to Courage, I try to bring you guests that highlight that commitment to courage and whatever it is they are choosing to do. And today I'm so excited for the guests I'm having. It's a little different from what I have normally done, but I think it was really an important area to tackle. And so I'm excited about having my guest here today. But before we go into her, I wanted to remind you that I have a website at PaulineVictoria.com. I would love for you to sign up, and I give inspirational thoughts that I might have during the week and send those out to you. And I would love to stay connected to you that way. And if you do reply back, I do respond. I do read those, and I do respond to them. Also, I wanted to remind you about Motivational Radio. Motivationalradio.com is an internet radio station based out of New Zealand, and I'm now hosting a radio show with my co-host, Kelly Frazier, called Vision Power Action, every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern. I would love for you to tune in. This radio station, which is online, like I said, is almost yielding 2.5 million listeners now. So it is a big movement. There's a lot of great information that you can learn from and hear about on motivationalradio.com. Come to our fan page at Vision Power Action on Facebook, and you can learn more about that there. But please come there and be part of what's happening on Motivational Radio. Okay, before we go into our guests, every week I give an affirmation that is inspired by that guest. So the affirmation that I came up with today for this week is, I am capable of achieving anything I put my mind to. I am capable of achieving anything I put my mind to. And like I said, this affirmation is inspired by the guest that I have on today, because in one word, Kathleen Williams to me is Superwoman. She has achieved so much in her life, and when I heard her life story, when you'll hear it, your jaw will drop because of all the things she has accomplished. And among all those accomplishments, Kathleen is a registered nurse. She's a licensed attorney. She's an author, public speaker, and trainer. She, most importantly, has dedicated herself as a single mother who raised an extremely successful son who has graduated from Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. Kathleen's work primarily targets women and discusses important topics such as family, children, work, education, law, health, beauty, fitness, and much more. And she is committed to bringing attention to the disparities in education for young men and to the issues facing single mothers raising sons. To fulfill her purpose, she uses the platforms of public speaking, television with her show I'm Just Saying, and now her new book series, Single Mother, the New Father. And I am so excited to be able to have Kathleen on my show today to discuss all that she is contributing to the world. And, you know, I have to say I am biased because I am also a mom. I'm not single, but I do have a son. And so I'm really interested in always learning from those who have raised really successful sons, so I can learn and bring those qualities into my own parenting. So I hope you're listening to this and having a notebook and pen in front of you to take down good notes, because I'm sure Kathleen's going to share lots and lots of great information with us today. Kathleen, are you there?
I'm here, Pauline. Thank you so much. What a fabulous introduction. I'm so grateful to you and so proud and excited
I am just relaying to our listeners what it is you're all about. And so I'm excited to learn today, and I'm sure our listeners will be so excited to learn. So, can we just jump right on in?
Oh, absolutely. But first, so many kudos to you. Congratulations to you as well for all of the work that you're doing. And I wrote down everything, your motivational radio, your show in New Zealand. Is it New Zealand, you said?
Yeah, it's a New Zealand radio station, but it's online, so you can get it worldwide.
Wonderful. Vision, Power, Action. I love it. Joining the fan page, and I can't wait to hear it. So it's wonderful. So I'm really excited for you, Pauline, and I am your biggest fan.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And so for the listeners that are listening right now, just to give you a little bit of background, Kathleen and I met through the Les Brown Platinum Speakers Network. And yes. Kathleen will have always a place in my heart that's really special. And I think I've relayed this to you, Kathleen, but in case you forgot, you gave me a compliment that I'll never, ever, ever forget after I gave an interview back in September, I believe, of 2009. And you were the first person to give a comment when the comments were asked for. And you said, if I didn't know God before this, I would know God now. And to me, that is on the plane ride home after that, I said, you know what? If I die today, I'm good.
And Pauline, it's true. It's true. I carried that interview with me, and your grace and your warmth and your authenticity, I carry that interview with me, and it inspires me every time I think about it. And I still mean it, and with all the fervor that I said it that night. So thank you. Thank you for being who you are and everything that you do and all the work that you're doing to bring change and inspiration and vision and hope to the world. So it's awesome.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. I received that. And whatever you see in me, always remember it's a reflection of what is already in you too. So you must be doing God's work too. And he is definitely working through you, because the information that you bring to the world is so important in us transforming it one man at a time.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that, Pauline. And I'm really very passionate about it and working hard to bring that message out, especially, as you mentioned, to single moms, letting them know, just as your affirmation says, you absolutely can. You know, I am capable of achieving anything that I put my mind to. And one of the first step is really putting your mind to it, showing up, putting your mind to something, and following up with it, and believing with all of your heart, with everything inside you, that you can do it. Anything that you put your mind to, you absolutely can do it, regardless of what the terrain happens to look like at the moment. Take that first step, and after that first step, take that second step, and just keep going, keep going, keep going. You're going to absolutely get there. And I'm living proof. You're living proof. All the, the speakers that we work with are living proof. So many people, if we look around, the successes are just all around us.
Yes, yes. And I know it sounds cliche, but it is true. If we can do it, you can too, if you're listening to this. I mean, we're not any more special or favored than anybody else listening to this. We each have the ability to just take the next step. And that's really what it is. And, I'm glad you started there, because I wanted our listeners, I know a little bit about the background that has led you on this journey, but for the sake of our listeners, could you give us a brief history about how you became filled with this desire to spread this message?
Well, one of the there's so many places to start. But the story that I'd like, I know, there's so many different things to talk about. But the story that I'd like to share with your audience today, Pauline, is the one about the very day that I realized that my life had changed. And that was the day that I went from being a married mom with a, you know, happy family to being a single mom. Basically, my entire world and life and family and home life and everything turned upside down. I'm sure you and I talked a little bit about the fact that, or I've shared with audiences in the various locations and venues that I speak, that I am a survivor of domestic violence. And on the day that the incident occurred, and I won't talk too much about the specific incident, but it did involve police, it did involve jail, it did involve a lot of the horrific things that you think about when you think about domestic violence. And my son was right in the home at the time, and in an instant, my life changed. Everything that I'd known as being a wife, a mother, having a family, having a home, everything changed in that instant. And as a result of the sudden change, just that one punch changed my entire life forever. And, you know, not long after my ex-husband spent some time in prison after the incident. And on the day that he was to return back to the home, I sought assistance from the authorities and said, you know, what do I do? I'm not feeling safe about staying here and continuing in this environment. I'm in danger. And they said, listen, there's nothing that we can do about that. This is his home, too, and we can't do anything about that to help you. So if you have concerns, you have to leave. And I said, looked at them and said, leave and go where? And they said, Miss, there's nothing we can do about that, and you might have to find some place to go. But if you're concerned about your safety and being here, there's nothing that we can do. Unless you're hit again, then you can call us. But essentially, if you're concerned, you have to leave. And so I packed up everything that I owned in my car, packed up some toys for my son, put those in the car, got his blankets and everything that we could possibly carry, put them in the car that night, and as I prepared to drive out of the underground garage, I realized that I was homeless. I had no place to go.
There was how old was your son at the time?
He was 3 years old.
Oh. I can relate my heart. I have some goosebumps all over me because my son's 4, so he's around that same age.
Yeah. He was 3 years old. So that day was the beginning of the rest of my life, and now looking back, I just thank God not only for the revelations, but for the wonderful people that he put in my life and the strength and the wisdom and the courage and the love and everything that just inspired me to take the next step and the next step and the next step. Because sometimes you can only see to the next minute. Sometimes you can only say, you know what, I know I can get, I can make 60 seconds. I can do 60 more seconds that I know, you know, but another hour, another day, I'm really not that sure. And just taking it, if you have to take it second by second, if you have to take it minute by minute, whatever it is that you have to do to get to the next step, by the time you look up, something has changed for the better. At some point, it's going to start getting better. You're going to start saying, okay, well, I did that, so now let me do this. I went to some place, someone's home, and they wouldn't let me stay. So I said, okay, well, at least I got here. I can't stay here, but I can go someplace else. Let's think. What do we do next? Go to the next home and the next home, and then somebody says, you know, come on in. You can stay here. You can stay in my basement until you get back on your feet. Okay, so we're here now, so what's the next step? And just keep going. Just keep going and keep dreaming. And just because your life starts to turn upside down and topsy-turvy inside out doesn't mean that you can't continue to dream.
Right.
We have to, We just continue to dream.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, you know, when we are faced with challenges and unthinkable circumstances that are surrounding us, we can't even see the point of it all. And I think it's so important what you're saying, because what your story is revealing is that sometimes the hardest punches are what it takes for us to be on the path that we needed to be on.
You're so right, Pauline. You're so right.
Yeah. So what would you, you know, if there's someone listening to this right now that might be going through that and they don't know how to take that next step, what would your words of encouragement be to them at this point?
If someone happens to be in that place of despair and fear, it's so very frightening to think about not having some place to live. The thing that I did and the thing that I would encourage anyone and everyone to do is pick up the phone. Because even if, pick up the phone, knock on a door, go to a friend, go to a stranger if you need to, and reach out to people. Because the saying goes that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to raise any one of us.
Right. And we're all still growing and learning, so we're all
always
being raised.
Always. There's, you know, that's why we're all here on this earth, in this world together. No one gets to where they are without the support of people. So we have to reach out to one another, and if you're the person that someone is reaching out to, help them. You may not be able to take them in, but you may be able to give them $5. And you may say, you know what, $5 isn't a lot. I don't have $200 to give you, $500 to give you, $1,000 to give you. But guess what? Every $1,000 is made up of a bunch of fives.
Right.
So, right? You
right.
know, a bunch of pennies. So give what you can. Do what you can. And if you are that person, you have to humble yourself and you have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for help and ask for support. And don't give up. Because a lot of it was really overcoming the pride or the embarrassment or the, oh, my God, how did I get here? Me? How did I get here? Come on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I think that's so important. I'm so glad you brought that up, because pride, I think, is what definitely can stop us from moving on to the next step, because we don't want to appear weak to other people. Or, you know, it sounded like you had this picture perfect, you know, I'm the wife and mother and home, and to have to humble yourself and go to people and say, you know what, it didn't work out that way.
At all.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. And you're absolutely right. I mean, nothing is necessarily picture perfect, but it was pretty doggone close. Picture perfect as far as the vision and the dream that I had for myself. And you know what, Pauline? That was actually part of the problem. Because I bet you, had I recognized early on and followed my intuition and followed my gut and believed in myself, I would never have gotten there, but it was part of trying to live up to the impression.
Mm.
Part of just, yeah. Part of what we used to say when I was younger, trying to keep up with the Joneses necessarily. The
right.
Looking at the picture of what it was. If you looked at us, we look like the perfect family. And not wanting to tear that down and wanting to believe in myself. No, I can fix this. I can do this. I know I can,
right?
I can make this work. I can. And when you get to a point, you can't make anyone be anything.
Mm.
You can't do that. The only thing that you can do, or the only thing that we can do, the only thing that I could do was be true to myself.
Right. Well, we must be right on the same wavelength, because the quote that came to my mind was Shakespeare's quote of "To thine own self be true." Yeah, it's important for us to be living and being true to what we want and who we want to become, rather than what we think other people think we should become.
Yeah, and I know, and a lot of people may have question about what I'm about to say, and some people may even get a little bit angry about this, but I stand firm on it, because if we are walking authentically in that phrase, to thine own self be true. There will be many, many relationships, whether they are friendships or intimate relationships with spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. We likely won't land in that place where we are so mismatched with someone that it ends up this way. Had I been true to myself from the very beginning, it's not likely that I would have matched with him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he wouldn't have been interested in me, and maybe I wouldn't have, do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't even blame, at this point now, not only have I gone through all the forgiveness and the personal growth and work, you know, and I'm growing and learning and growing and learning every day as we are all, but I have really thought about the fact that I can't put a tremendous amount of blame on my ex-husband for any of this, because I have to take accountability for my role and my part in it. Not that it was at all right for him to hit me or for any man or any woman to hit any man or any woman. I totally am against violence, and I do not believe in domestic violence. I don't think there's ever a place for it. I don't think anybody's ever right for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have to be accountable, responsible, and true to ourselves and say, okay, how did I get here?
Right, right. That personal responsibility, that is so important. And you know what? I want to thank you and a lot of people that are listening to this, as I was listening to you, might be thinking, oh, why are we stuck in the past? But there's so many lessons that we can gain from looking at the past, you know, with 2020 vision now, and say, oh, okay, well, I needed to take personal responsibility for understanding who I was, and that maybe I was kind of faking who I was and allowed myself to get into a situation that I may not have found myself in if I had been true to who I wanted to become. And, you know, so if this can help another person this might be their present, then I'm so happy for the path that any of us have to go through in order to teach and give that insight to others.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, that's why we write books. That's why we give talks. That's why we talk about these ugly things, is because, hey, not because I really want to hash this thing over again, guys. Hello? You know, we talk about it so that we can help somebody else. You know, that's the testimony is not for us. This speaking and this whole motivational speaking, the book that I wrote, and, you know, of course, we can't go through all the benefits and things and the tests and the lessons and all of that I put in the book that will help other single moms. We can't go over all of that right now, and that's why we write books, because, listen, this was my journey. Yours may not be exactly like this, but there may be some similarities, and the mistakes that I made, I'm going to be transparent and put them in there. So that if you have a child, you need to read this stuff.
And, you know, we're going to definitely get to the book. I think there's still a few lessons that we can probably pull out from the past before, which is probably highlighted in your book. So this is going to be related to your book. So anyone that's listening to this, I am on the phone with Kathleen Williams. And Kathleen, which website do you want them to go to?
It's KathleenWilliams.com, or I'm just saying TV.com is my television film website. I am JustSayingTV.com is my TV show website, and they can either go there or to KathleenWilliams.com, and that's the other website that I have that has my book and speaking engagements and so forth, and everything is linked. So in either place, you'll be able to get to the other.
Okay, great. So for those that are listening, Kathleen Williams is spelled CathleenN, and then Williams, WillIams.com. So, and just so you know, the book that she has just released is called Single Mother, the New Father, and we will get to that. But it is based on your personal story and journey and lessons that you've learned, and you have taken the courage to be, like you said, be transparent in that book so others can learn from your journey. But, what, you know, it is about single mothers raising sons, or anybody raising sons, I'm assuming, correct? The who would you say the target reader would, or who would you say would get the most out of this book if they were reading it?
Definitely moms. And all along, Pauline, I've been saying single moms. And I think single moms will get the absolute best benefit. But I'll tell you something. Many of my girlfriends are married, and all of them grabbed up the book, and they're always calling me and saying, oh, my gosh, I did page 43. I did exactly what you said to do, and it worked, you know. And so I have a very good friend named Sharon, and she's married with two girls. So I'm saying single moms with sons. And Sharon calls me more than anybody. She's married with two girls, and she says, oh, my gosh, I used what you said, you know, in your book, and it's working for me. So I would say moms. You know, I really want to say moms in general, because whether we're single or we're married, there are so many things that as women we have in common with one another, and the way we feel and love and nurture and put forth for our families and for our children, whether we're single or we're married, it's so similar. And we can all benefit and understand it as well. The reason that I say single moms in particular, though, is because many times we feel so alone. And there are so many things that we have to do and take up for, match up for. So what, in other words, and I mentioned this in the book, it takes two people to make a child. You know, it takes two bodies to make a child. And knowing that God didn't make it so that one person could just get up and say, okay, I'm going to get pregnant right now, you know. He did that for a reason, because he knows how much work it takes to raise a child. So when you're by yourself doing it, you have to, you know, play double duty. And you have to really get a tremendous amount of support. And I'm not, and that the thing that I learned is, as even as a married mom, I still had to get support. I still needed my sister. I still needed my mom. I still needed my girlfriends to help me out. And that's double time for the single mother. And when you don't have another partner to say, you know what, hey, can you pick up the kids today because I have to XYZ, or I'm not feeling so great today, can you just, you know, chip in and get them over to karate practice or this or that or the other, or I hate football, you do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go. You know, I really would rather do something else right now. So, and as an entrepreneur, it's even that more intense. So for the single mom who doesn't really have anybody to turn to, what do I do? You know, how do I make sure that my son or my daughter, my children, still get the same benefits of everything that's available to them if it's just me?
Right. And so okay, let's delve into that. I wanted to ask you, you said that the typical way single mothers raising their sons, primarily in the African American ethnicity, you say it's usually poverty for the mother and prison for the son. I wanted to ask you, where did you find the courage and strength to not fall into that typical pitfall?
That day, Pauline, that I was sitting in the garage and backing out of the garage. From my Santa Monica condo, okay, Santa Monica, California, very exclusive neighborhood,
and
leaving there in my car, packed up with all of my things in it. And I said, and when I said to myself, oh, my gosh, Miss Williams, you're homeless. Well, that wasn't my name at the time, but you're homeless. And not only are you homeless, but you know what is said about single mothers raising particularly African-American sons in Southern California. Because clearly when you back out of this Santa Monica garage, you're not going to be able to just go down the street and get another apartment or home or condo, because now we're talking about the two incomes that now has become one. And what do you do now? Are you and this is, I'm saying all this to myself in the car. You know what the statistics say, and the statistics are just what you said. And I said, I refuse. I refuse to allow my son to become a statistic. And I said that on purpose. I didn't say I refuse to allow myself to become a statistic, because many times as women and as moms, in times of great despair and anguish and fear and frustration, we can't even find the strength to save ourselves. But if we can think about our children, we know we can make it to the next day. I'm getting goosebumps right now even thinking
about
it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, even still to this day, if anything is going on with Sean, I'm like on it, like, you know, 90 going north. And it's like sometimes if I can, I said to him last week, I said, you know what? The fervor that I have when it comes to you, if I could keep that 100% of the time, all the time for myself, I don't, God knows where I would fly into the universe amongst the stars. You know, you can pick up cars, you can throw trucks, you can fight demons, you can, you know, beat animals in the jungle. There's things that we just can become and do when it comes to our children, and that's really one of the things that got me through. I was able to say, I will not allow my son to become a statistic. And living in Southern California, we had the element of the Bloods and the Crips and the gangs and the schools that were not up to par. Sean was coming from a private school now, a very prestigious private school in Ladera Heights, you know, with the kids of the stars and Hollywood. You know, and it was going to be a very different lifestyle. And I prayed, you know, I said, dear God, whatever it is that I have to do, show me. Wherever it is that I have to go, show me. Just please don't let my son become a statistic. I will do whatever it is that I have to do. And I remember it was like a visitation from God that said, he's my son.
That's wow.
And nothing, I will not let any harm come to him. That is my son too. So as I follow God and listen to what he's telling me to do, then I know I'm protecting God's child. And that made it even greater, you know, that now it's like, whoa, God trusted me with this young man. I know he's special, and I know that nothing's going to happen. And it's the faith that keeps you moving. It truly is faith. And people will say, oh, come on. I'm like, no, really, really, trust me. I know what I know what I know. And it was the faith in God and the strength of purpose and destiny and believing that I had, I'm here for a reason and my son is here for a reason. That's
right. You were protecting two purposes, two destinies.
That's right. And actually, yes, I was protecting two destinies, but I was actually really not even having to protect them. All I had to do was walk it out.
Very good. And you know, it was interesting because I had the same experience when I had my son, in terms of having that feeling come over me, like I'm giving you from God, giving you authority to raise my child, and on this earth. And so I take that very seriously. It's like God puts that on your heart. It's like, gosh, I don't want to let him down.
That's right. That's right.
Right, and he's the ultimate father. So, you know, it's. I think it's important, though, because I see a lot of parents that don't see it that way.
Yeah.
I see a lot of parents that kind of allow their society to raise their children.
Yeah.
And whatever's okay with whatever society is going, you know, whatever's happening on society right now or in the media, then their children fall victims to that. And so I really do see parenting as the ultimate, one of our ultimate purposes on this, if we are blessed with a child. And so it's really good to hear someone else have that same experience and that same perspective on what parenting really is.
Yeah, yeah. And people ask me all the time, Pauline, they're like, how did you do it? How did you accomplish all of that? And And then, you know, some people say it that way. And I say truly it's faith and truly it's belief in God and all of that. And on the other hand, I have a lot of people that will look at me and say, well, why aren't you further along? Why aren't you, you know, the Jeanetta Cochran or whatever, you know, huge big time attorney with, you know, you have the nursing degree, the law degree, and all this other kind of stuff. And that brings me right back to what you just said, Pauline, which is when we recognize that God has given us the authority and the blessing, the opportunity to raise one of his children, then you know, you look at your life differently, completely differently. So as a result, I was willing to, eager to rather, sacrifice the hardcore lifestyle of a litigation attorney, which is really what I was hoping that I would do when I went into law school. But when I recognized what was going to be required of me as far as time and resources and focus, I couldn't see myself doing that as a single mom. Now, I'm not saying that other women wouldn't be able to do it, but for me, I couldn't see myself giving a job outside of my home from 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning. We live in New York City, so to get to your job by 8 o'clock, you have to be outside by 6:30 the latest. And then if you're, you know, doing litigation and if you're working, moving towards that partnership role or high-powered lawyer and all this other kind of stuff, you're not home before 9 o'clock at night. So that means that society will be raising my son. Video games and music videos and kids in the street and everything else will have been raising my son, and that would have been the fastest way for him to become a statistic.
Right, right. And you know, I want to just... You know, maybe the verbiage, it's not like you couldn't, it's that you chose something else than your career. You chose your son over your career and the quality time that it has. And I think that's, you know, so many people look at and judge people on their success based on their status or class or job. And, you know, really it's, I mean, gosh, if anything measures your success, it's the reflection of your children and how you raise them. So he graduated from Carnegie Mellon University. That's pretty good.
Yay!
Extremely successful, you know.
Yay,
and so
yeah.
I think that's, you know, that's another shift that people need to make in terms of how we judge each other in terms of success.
Right.
So,
And I pride my not only the fact that he is successful, I attribute that to my own success too. Every time I, you know, Sean and I talk about it, it's like, you know, that degree from Carnegie Mellon is really mine, right? you understand that? Just put it on my wall right there. I got a space for it. Thank you. But not only that, but despite all of that, because again, you know, bringing it back to faith in God and so forth, you know, okay, he didn't bring me this far to leave me either. So now that I go forward, well, I can't do that thing that I thought I was going to do, that whole litigation, but what else is there for me? And as I've walked through the various positions that I've had and the various careers that I've had, I can't imagine being more blessed than what I've been able to do. So I wouldn't have, and I would never have done half of this had I been working as a litigation attorney. Maybe high-powered, maybe sitting on CNN as a commentator or whatever, but I am so happy with what I have right now. I'm so happy that my son is happy, and we have a phenomenal relationship. We hang out, you know, we play tennis, we just do all kinds of things together. He's a wonderful young man, and I'm so proud of him, and I'm really excited about it. So it comes to you anyway. You know, and I believe in karma and the laws of attraction and that God will bring to you what is for you. So it's never too late. He's 23 years old. If I want to be a litigation lawyer, now I can still go do it, but now I don't want to.
Right, right. And you know what? I think that's also an important distinction to make, though, because I also see a lot of moms pour themselves into their children, and they almost lose their identity and fold it into their children, living cathartically through their children. So for you to be able to pour yourself into your son and at the same time maintain Kathleen. So when he grows up, because you can, because I think our job as parents is really to help them understand that they don't need us, to help them become very independent, you know, self-sufficient, sustainable human beings that can contribute to society. And that means that we also, after we give our all, we also have to take a step back and also take that surrender role too, and have trust in them that they can live their life. And that means that we also have to live ours.
That's right. That's right. And be a model. Just what you're saying, just 1 second to jump in and say, the other thing that we're doing for them as we're helping them become independent and learn how to live independently on their own, we are modeling for them who they will become as adults. We are who they are becoming. So they look at us and they say, oh, that's how it's done. So if we're not out there living our dreams, if we're not out there fighting for our passions and being authentic in the individuals that we are, if we're not out there choosing the right people to have around us and being pushed further and further to our own successes in whatever category that is, then our children become who we are. So if we want the best for them, we have to model the best for them and authentically model the best for them. We can't just be, you know, the conversation. It can't just be talking the talk and not walking the walk. So when I tell Sean that he has to fight for his dreams and push for everything that there is, and I tell him that he is totally capable of achieving anything that he puts his mind to, he has to see me, one, put my mind to something and achieve it. So he'll believe it. And then he'll do it.
Right. Right. Kathleen, you have so much information and you know, a lot of that information and those lessons, and it sounds like there are exercises or practical things that you can use to apply to your own parenting in your new book. Is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. The book is a series, Pauline. So this one that just came out is volume one, and it's about sports. And Sean, as I mentioned to you, Sean and I play tennis. So I taught him. there's a picture in the book of Sean in his little walker on the tennis court holding a racket that's probably twice his size.
Aww, cute.
So I gave him a tennis racket when he was still in diapers, and I raised him up as an athlete. So one of the things that happened for us was my father raised me on the tennis court too as an athlete. He taught me tennis when I was a young kid. My father was a tennis player, and we played and developed an amazing relationship as a result of our time out on the tennis court. And I say in the book that much of what I learned about life, I learned it on the tennis court. And so when my son was born, I knew, well, any child, whether I had a daughter or a son, I knew that they were going to have to play sports, because the benefits and the excitement and the lessons, the life lessons that children learn being involved in sports is priceless. And I don't think it's necessarily replaced anyplace else. Not that I don't believe in music and so forth, because he did all that too, and so did I. But being involved in sports is one environment where he learns to interact with other kids. So they learn networking skills. They learn how to interact with adults other than just teachers. So they learn respect, and they learn how to interact with mentors and role models and so forth. And the other thing that I did out there, they even learned politics and how to use the sports environment to help them get jobs. Not that they need to become professional athletes at all, but Sean right now is the assistant tennis coach at St. John's University, and because of that, he's looking at being able to go to graduate school while he's coaching and making money. You know,
wow.
And a lot of times when you work for a university like that, if you can work in a sport, many times they'll send you for free. So we're praying about that, you know, all of those things. So there's so many things that can come out of it, you know, and for young men in particular, they go for a job interview. A lot of times he'll bond with the interviewer over what happened at the NBA game last night. They have that conversation. And so those were the things that I wanted him to have. And even though Dad was not there with us or, you know, available to, you know, have him in the sports world, I couldn't say, okay, well, you can't have that or you got to be out there by yourself. No, I went with him. And that's what this book is all about, all the lessons I learned, because I was one of one single mom with a son who was out there every day, every practice, every tournament, every game with my male child. Every other child out there, if it was a boy, had either his dad with him or he didn't have anybody with him.
Wow. Wow. Gosh, I can't believe we only have 15 minutes left. But as a mom myself of raising a son, I wanted to ask you as the expert, what would you say, and I know this might be a difficult for you to do, Kathleen, but what are the three key elements that contributed to the success of your son?
Intense listening skills.
Okay.
On my part.
Tell me about that a little bit.
Many times, and I still watch it today, and I want to be brief because I know we're winding down, but many times when I watch mothers in particular interacting with their children, whether they're boys or girls, they tell them, they're talking at them, and when the child is communicating back or trying to say something back to them, they're not listening. They've already decided in their head what the child is going to say or what the child should say or, listen, I told you to go do that. Now, take care of this. And what are you doing this for? And why didn't I tell you to clean up your room? I want you to get it. Now, why do you want to tell me? When are you actually sitting down to listen? And I know one of the things that our president and the first lady always talk about is when they sit down to dinner, they all sit down and talk about, well, how was your day today? What did you learn? What were your challenges? And so on and so forth. And they listen. And that was one of the things that I found was the most valuable, one of the three most valuable things that led to the success of my son and our relationship is the fact that I learned early on to listen to him and pay attention to not only the words that he said, because we know that listening involves more than just listening to someone's words. It means observing their body language and listening to the tone of their voice. All of those things are really very important when we're communicating with our children. And it's different now from when I was growing up. You know, parents will, you know, they told you and maybe barked at you sometimes what you needed to do. And listening, you know, children were supposed to be seen and not heard. And that's just not the case anymore. So that was really important. And I instead of using communication again, I think the communication, instead not just listening, but communication in general was very, very important. It was key, especially between mother and son, because, you know, men and women speak different languages. That is no different when you're talking about mothers and sons.
Right.
You know, women are from Venus, men are from Mars, well, boys are from Mars, too, you know, or Pluto or some other planet, but they communicate differently. So I really had to learn that whole male language and be able to communicate with him in a way that he felt accepted, understood, and free to communicate with me. So, because I needed to keep the lines of communication open. I needed him to talk to me.
Yes. So for those that are listening, I would think this is the right part where you want to write this down. Intense listening and communication, open communication.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's number one. And so just to remind people, Kathleen's only giving us three key elements that contributed to her son's success. So if you want more, please get her book, Single Mother, the New Father, which you can find on her website, KathleenWilliams.com. Sorry, I just had to make sure that
thank you so much, Pauline. Thank you. The other is a presence, is being present with your children. And this, you know, it sounds a little bit like the communication as well, And that's part of being present. But when I say being present, that means that when you're there with them, that you are there 100%. So that they know that, yeah. So you're bringing your whole, your attention to them. You're bringing your interest to their interests. Right in, when you're present for your children, it's just not about you. So part of that was my participating in his extracurricular activities, which was sports. So when he was out at tennis, I was out there too. And I trained with him. You know, I didn't just go and sit and watch. I would train with him. And I talk in the, I say in the book too, like everybody can't do that. So some people might not be able to get out there and train with their son. That's okay. Just be there, you know, and be present. And even if you can't be there, then send text messages. Send a little phone call. Put a little something in their lunch bag, something that lets them know that you're thinking about them, that you care about them, and that you love them, and that you're present for them. They need to know that somebody believes 100% in them and is backing them up.
Okay, so we got intense listening and communication and being present.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, I'm excited to hear.
The third one, Pauline, is something that I learned, and I didn't learn it immediately when Sean was born. It took me maybe, I'm going to say, maybe he might have been around 2 months old, maybe, if that, 2 months old. And I learned one particular day the meaning of unconditional love.
Wow.
I never really knew what it was. I never really knew what it was until I had my child. And there was, you know, there were days when he was so young that I, you know, I realized, first of all, that I was, it's kind of funny to explain, but I didn't feel, I wasn't complete now without this child. I had there was an extension of me. There was because he can't take care of himself. There's nothing that he can do for himself, so I had an extension for me. So wherever I went, he had to go. And I remember being in an apartment when Sean was born, we were living in an apartment on the 7th or 8th floor in Los Angeles, and there was an earthquake. And so, you know, earthquake, time to run to the doorway and, you know, protect yourself, and the building is on rollers and it's shaking and I'm scared and I'm there by myself and it's just me and Sean. And when the building started shaking and things were breaking, the glasses were breaking and so forth, I ran to the doorway to stand there. And I started crying ferociously when I realized that I ran to the doorway and didn't grab my baby.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing.
Ran back, grabbed the baby, and cried like a baby as I'm holding the baby. And realized at that moment that I would die for this child. There was nothing ever that he could ever do that would cause me to not love him. Nothing. I might get mad at him. I might get angry when he got older. He would do stuff or whatever. But there was nothing ever that he could do that would cause me not to love him. And that's when I really began to realize how much God loved me and so loved the world. And that's, you know, and now I'm bringing that love to my child. And we've lived that. And I've reinforced that in him, and I've told him that over and over how much I love him. And he knows, because God knows what your children will, will they make you mad?
Yes.
Just wait, Pauline, just wait.
Oh, great. Thanks, Pauline.
But that unconditional love, that is so important. And when your kids know that you love them unconditionally, they can fly.
Oh, there's those goosebumps again. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I didn't even get to talk to you about your perspectives and what you're doing in terms of the disparities in education for young men and all of that.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, maybe that's meant for another show. But in the meantime, we are winding down. We have about a couple more minutes. But I do want to remind anyone that's listening, you know, Kathleen shared so many nuggets of golden and valuable information with us today in the last hour regarding her journey as an individual, how to be more authentic and true to yourself, and how that, when you're true to yourself, you're aligned with your purpose, and also how to be courageous and strong and successful as a dedicated parent. And so there's so much that Kathleen has to share, and of course it's impossible to get it all in 1 hour, so I would highly, highly encourage you. I'm definitely going to pick up the book now, because I am so intrigued about what is possible that I can implement in my own parenting skills with her, through her book called Single Mother, The New Father. And be reminded that this is a series. This is volume one. It focuses on sports. So once you get this, stay tuned for the next one and the next one and the next one, because I'm sure it's even impossible to get all of this information in one book. I mean,
yes.
This is just on sports, right?
Yes, yes, yes. There's a lot of other good nuggets in there, but you're absolutely right. So the next one is the village, everyone that we need to help us raise ourselves and our kids.
Yeah, that's even a question I didn't even get to. I had a question about what was your support system like, but we didn't get to it. So maybe we'll have a part two with Kathleen.
That would be great, Pauline. I'd love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. So everybody that's listening, I want to thank you for tuning in to Commitment to Courage and listening in to Kathleen Williams. Again, just to remind you, KathleenWilliams.com, C-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, Williams.com. Pick up her new book called Single Mother, The New Father. Until next week, every Monday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 4 p.m. Eastern. We hope to have you back and listen more about how you can be committed to your courage. Thank you so much, and have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Courage. To learn more about Pauline Victoria, visit www.paulinevictoria.com. and sign up to receive free updates. Be sure to tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 4 p.m. Eastern. And remember, as you continue to live your life, and as you listen in each Monday, know that you always have the courage within you to live a life of victory.